Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, you can hit us up in our chat room. Take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Programming note is for the next 10 days, I will still be doing this show, but I will be doing it on location. So if things sound a little different vocally or whatever, you'll understand why. Going to be isolated a little bit for 10 days. I'm fine. But for 10 days, I'm going to be doing some work, and I'm going to pretty much be in a studio location, and we'll be using their facilities to bring you the show. So if things do sound a little bit different or whatever, you'll know why. Anyway, Monday Night Raw last night was really a sort of a mixed bag, wasn't it? We got to actually hear about some new WrestleMania matches. Now, this was a WrestleMania that initially said they were going to have 16 matches. 16. I want you to understand, if they had went through with this the way that they wanted to in Tampa Bay, this is a 7-hour show. If you want to count the pre-show and all that, that's a lot of time. Now they have two nights. And I think that because some people can't travel, or because some people refuse to travel, and we'll be talking about some of them refusing to travel shortly, they've changed a couple of the matches. None of the major matches. The major matches are primarily the same. Although some stipulations may be added, and they're doing that on purpose because they're going to take this opportunity to do it. So, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But the major matches, virtually the same. But I know we did have on deck Andrade Cien Almas, Angel Garza, Rey Mysterio, and Humberto Carrillo were all supposed to do like a four-way dance for the title, and that's not happening. As we found out last night, instead, through some bizarre booking, the Street Profits are going to defend their titles against Andrade and Hector and Angel Garza. Not really sure why this is necessary. My first thought is perhaps Carrillo can't travel at this point or doesn't want to travel. Perhaps Ray has decided he doesn't want to travel. Or perhaps they just said, look, the Street Profits have no one, correctly no one, to defend the titles against. With one of the AOP out injured and the tag team division on Raw being nothing. Absolutely nothing. There would be no tag team match at WrestleMania, would there? Who would they be against? Now, I don't particularly like this match because I think that the Street Profits are obviously not going to lose. And for Garza and Andrade to lose this when one is already a champion and the other is being brought up big, I think it's silly. I just think it's silly. And I'm not sure why they'd go for the tag team belts anyway. It's all they tried to set it up last night. Not good. Not good. But maybe done out of necessity. I don't know. I don't know how much of this is done out of necessity. I do know that out of the people who do not wish to travel, some cannot travel. Some of them that are that live in Canada right now or in Mexico, or they can't travel. There's a travel ban. So there are some people who are stuck. And then there are people like Corey Graves, Carmella. If you wondered why, like, Tamina Snuka was thrown in that six-pack challenge and not Carmella, it's because Carmella and Corey Graves have basically self-isolated, and they said they are not traveling, they're not coming to any shows. They have just chosen to self-isolate. So for that reason, she's not in it. Now, I've heard a few other people have kind of chosen to self-isolate. I know that Robert Roode is having problems coming in from Canada, so he's not going to be around. I don't know who else may last minute not be able to come. They're saying more and more people as this thing progresses are starting to say they're not going to travel or they can't travel. So we got a couple of new matches. We have the Garza and Andrade against the Street Profits. And apparently we have Aleister Black and Bobby Lashley. Where this comes from, I don't know. I honestly don't know. Did we not see this match already? On a Monday Night Raw, I'm pretty sure we did. And this makes me wonder about Rusev a little bit because, of course, that would be a spot, you would think. And certainly if Lana is traveling, Rusev would be too. So it's not the travel that's the problem, or it's not the idea that he wants to isolate. So my presumption is he has not signed on the dotted line, and perhaps he's not going to. So instead we get Aleister Black against Bobby Lashley. Now, before we get into Monday Night Raw, which really there's not a lot to get into, we can go over some of the matches and the way for WrestleMania and the way they've changed. AJ Styles last night challenged The Undertaker to a Boneyard match. I have no idea what a Boneyard match is. I don't know what that is. What I do know is that the WWE is specifically setting up locations that would be isolated, closed set locations, so that few people as possible have to be in the same ring at the same time or have to follow someone into that ring. So I'm gathering that perhaps the Boneyard match won't take place in a ring. And now I'm hearing that John Cena and The Fiend, that also probably won't take place in a ring and will probably take place in an empty warehouse somewhere. And will be very cinema. You know, it'll be the cinematography on it will be very high. It'll be almost like The Ultimate Deletion. Or God forbid, let's not mention the House of Horrors match. Let's not mention that. But something along those lines. So those two ideas would keep those four competitors completely out of a ring and in an isolated area all by themselves, basically. So some matches have been added. Now, I don't know if there's any stipulations on to any of these other matches. I do know that I saw, and it could have just been a typo, but I saw on the WWE's website, they listed the six-pack challenge, and they left out Dana Brooke. They named everybody in the match except Dana Brooke. So they only listed five. So I don't know if last minute Dana Brooke has said she's not coming or she can't come. I don't know what the situation is there. This is very much up in the air. I think the WWE is kind of flying by the seat of their pants, and I think what they're trying to do is figure out a way that they can pull off these two nights and with the lowest possible risk factor of anyone coming into contact with this virus. And in doing so, I think we're going to be seeing some unusual booking and some unusual matches. Now, Jerry Lawler had said when he went down to the Performance Center, there was literally guards, and they would escort you to a place where you would wait until you had to come out, I guess on purpose, so that you didn't make a lot of contact with someone else. And the minute that your part was done, you were gone, and then somebody else came in. So that, you see, this doesn't really help, though, and I'll tell you why. if in fact the virus is carried through, you know, things you touch, well, I mean, you touch the ropes. They're saying, well, it might not be on any kind of fabric, more on hard surfaces. Well, what about microphones? Maybe the announcer's table, maybe the lockers. I don't know. You know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure it helps. I haven't heard how airborne this is. I heard stay like 6 feet away from people in case they sneeze or whatever, but or cough. But from what I'm hearing, it's more contact on surface. So I don't know why. But that's what Lawler says, that they're taking every precaution possible. Every precaution. And that means isolating people, maybe having their matches in places where there is nobody else except the camera crew. So this will be a really weird WrestleMania, folks. You got two ways to look at this. You know, it's the pessimist and the optimist. Glass is half full or it's half empty. The optimistic way to look at this is you're going to see some very unusual matches. This is not going to be your average WrestleMania. They're going to have to think outside the box. And because there's no fans anyway, see, that's another thing. Because there's no fans anyway, they can do things they normally would say, well, we better not do this. Because what happens if a fan gets hurt? Or what happens if, you know, something goes wrong here? Or do we dare go into the audience? Maybe somebody will hit us, or maybe somebody will throw something. They don't have to worry about that. So they can pull out all the stops as far as that's concerned. And there's going to be some unique booking ideas and match concepts, I should say, coming out of this to try to prevent everyone from just climbing in the ring, the same ring. The negative part of this is I'm not sure how much good this is going to do anyone that comes out winning. You know, if Drew McIntyre wins, it's not going to feel like that big WrestleMania win. It's just not going to. The Fiend wins, it's not going to feel like the passing of the torch moment or anything. It's not going to. The lesser matches probably will be about the same. You know, we saw some matches last night on television, and it worked out okay. But those matches weren't of utmost importance. The utmost importance matches in WrestleMania probably aren't going to feel the same. Goldberg and Reigns, definitely not going to feel the same. Undertaker and AJ Styles, I don't know what they got in mind for a Boneyard match, but I don't think that's going to really feel the same either. And by the way, that buildup is unfortunate. Sometimes I think AJ Styles is cursed when it comes to WrestleMania. He never seems to get that spot that he probably deserves. And I know he'd be the first to say, what are you kidding? I'm facing The Undertaker. How can you get better than that? I get that. But AJ Styles deserved that moment where he's going to put on a 5-star match and it's going to be a main event type thing. And it don't look like he's going to get it. He hasn't gotten it so far. He's not going to get it this year. And I don't foresee him getting it at all. So that's a shame. But Todd, as I said, we could see an interesting WrestleMania just because of the limitations and things that they're going to have to do.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's with the WrestleMania thing, and it's not going to feel the same like it normally does, like they do every year, with no crowds, no nothing, isolated locations, and it won't feel the same to me, and probably not to you, with a moment like that.
Certain moments are not going to work. You can guarantee that certain moments are not going to work. If Drew McIntyre wins, which I presume he's going to, that moment's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. Roman Reigns winning, that moment's going to be hard. Those two specifically, I think, are going to be the hardest. If you have this John Cena Fiend thing in some practically a movie set somewhere in a warehouse, that's probably not going to matter because it's going to be a little bit like Gold Dust, if you remember Gold Dust and Roddy Piper at whatever WrestleMania that was. That's going to be a little bit like that. So that's probably going to, but they, you notice they did finish in the arena for that match. Now, I don't know whether Cena and I doubt Cena and The Fiend will finish in the arena, because the whole idea behind it is to not be in the arena, in the performance center. So they're probably not going to, but that could still work. If they do have some kind of specific plans for this Boneyard match, whatever it is, I guess that could work. But it's kind of funny to see WrestleMania almost taken down to the level of backyard wrestling, because that's kind of what this is going to be. Some of the matches, anyway. One of them isn't even going to have a ring, if what I'm hearing is true, and that would be Cena and The Fiend. And perhaps AJ and Undertaker, I don't know, because I don't know what a Boneyard match is. So this will be interesting to see what they do. So last night, Brock Lesnar starts the whole thing out, or I should say Paul Heyman. You know, we always say Brock Lesnar made an appearance. Well, you can put a cardboard cutout of Brock Lesnar there, and Paul Heyman could just talk to him. Because that's all that really happens. But you will notice that the WWE did one smart thing, and that is they put a hard camera side against the WWE logo instead of a bunch of empty seats. Which the very first time I saw Raw last week, I said, I don't know why you're doing that. That looks terrible. At least face the curtain, face the Titantron. That looks a little better. They finally did that, at least. And the one thing I can say, and I guess it makes me say I'm kind of anti-fan, which everyone who listens to the show knows I'm not. But I think that these interviews and these segments where the wrestlers have to talk about their upcoming match and things, I think it's better without fans. We saw Edge last week give a great promo that wasn't interrupted with chants of whatever. And it felt right, and it gave the camera a chance to really focus in on Edge and not worry about audience reaction and all kinds of things. This week we saw it out of Paul Heyman, and then later on out of Randy Orton. And in each instance, and we saw Roman Reigns' interview in the ring, which was better than normal, because it wasn't interrupted with, you know, boos and jeers and whats and everything else. So to be honest, I think the WWE is actually doing better with their interviews and their these segments with no fans. And maybe once this whole thing blows over, they should give some serious consideration. Serious consideration to not having so much of it in the ring. It's very plain to see that the wrestlers get distracted from the crowd sometimes. It's very plain to see that when they are backstage and they don't have to worry about it, they seem to pull this off better. Now, there are some people who don't mind. John Cena would be one of them. Some people don't care. Crowd, no crowd, I'm the same. But that's not everybody. And even some people who are normally good, like Edge and Randy Orton, seem a lot better when there's no crowd chanting what at them or whatever, or one more time or whatever. So there is something to be said for these segments being done without an audience. Now, the wrestling matches themselves, that's a problem. As we witnessed last night, we saw the Street Profits take on Shane Thorne, and I forget the other guy from NXT's name. I don't know whether this is their debut or they just had to use him out of necessity because there wasn't anybody around. I don't know. It was what it was. I mean, look, these guys can perform without a crowd, but it doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel the same to the person watching at home. I'm sure it doesn't feel the same to the participants in the ring. And the aesthetics of it, the way it looks, it's just not quite there. And to think WrestleMania is going to be like this is a little bit worrying to me. Caller, are you there? Hello, caller. No. Todd, are you worried at all that this is going to come out looking a little hokey? WrestleMania is going to come out looking a little hokey with, you know, the no crowd and empty arena type thing?
Oh, you're absolutely right there. It's going to be weird with an arena without a crowd in a place like the Performance Center or the other venues without a crowd. It's going to look hokey there, and it is what it is right now.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, WrestleMania had no other alternative unless they wanted to cancel, which, in my opinion, they should have done. But Vince McMahon wanted to get on with it, so we're getting on with it. Now, whether this turns out to be a great decision or this turns out to be a horrible decision, I don't know. But I can promise you that some of these wrestlers are not happy with the fact that they're moving on for a couple of reasons. One, some of them feel, hey, I'm risking my health. Not that they're not risking their health every night, but they're risking their health in a major way this time. That's number one. Number two, they're saying, it's just not, you know, I don't feel like it's worth it. You know, when the crowd's out there and you can get that energy and, you know, you're going to have your big moment, you know, there's going to be that big WrestleMania pop for you. And ask any of these guys about their big WrestleMania pop. You know, when they go through the curtain, they're like, man, that was like the moment of my life. Drew McIntyre was probably looking forward to the moment of his life. And instead, he's going to get an empty arena. Now, that's the equivalent of saying, hey, you struggled in the music industry for I don't know how many years, and you had a modicum of success, but you're opening up for the Rolling Stones. And you say, oh, my God, there's going to be 100,000 people. That's going to be the greatest thing. It's going to be on satellite. And, oh, my God, the world's going to see me. And then they say, well, wait a minute, though. You're going to just be taped in your studio. You're not going to be there live on the same stage as the Stones or anything. The audience isn't going to really see. They're going to see you, but they'll see you on tape. Well, that's not the same. Just not the same. So unfortunately, yeah, the pomp and circumstance is gone from WrestleMania. And it's just the bare bones, it is what it is type deal now. And, you know, whether you agree with it or you disagree with it, this is what we're stuck with. And it's going to be two nights running. So it was kind of alarming to see that Cedric Alexander and Ricochet are now a tag team. What did I tell everyone? When Ricochet first came to the WWE and everyone was just, you know, had a raging hard-on for him. Oh, he's the greatest. He's this. He's that. I said, they're going to ruin him. They're going to ruin him because his little flippity-floppity things are going to get old after about a month. And they're going to say, yeah, it's great you're a good athlete, but what are we supposed to do with you? Cedric Alexander's a great athlete. What are we going to do with him? I've watched the WWE do this too many times. They put him right in the ring with Cedric Alexander. You know, that's almost like saying, guess what? We're Cedric Alexandering you. Remember when Cedric came in and he won he didn't win it, but he was in their big 205 tournament. He was a champion and this, that, and the other thing. Yeah, well, what is he now? And Ricochet, you're going to team with him because you're on that level now. That's what that kind of is. They've destroyed Ricochet. And here's what you got to understand. Sometimes the WWE destroys a character. Like they destroyed Bray Wyatt's character for a while. They destroyed Luke Harper's character. They destroyed Eric Rowan's character. They destroyed Rusev's character eventually. But some people destroy themselves because they don't understand. And I'm telling you, this happens more than anyone's going to let on. You could be the most insanely gifted athlete on the planet. You could do things that no one else can do in a wrestling ring. But if you don't have the personality to connect with that crowd, you have no shot, zero shot. Because after a while, your moves get old. Okay, I used the Rolling Stones as an example just a little while ago, so let me use them again. How many times have you heard these goddamn songs? I'm not even a Rolling Stones fan, but how many times have you heard these songs? 100 million times? And you're going to go to the concert and say, yeah, play, I can't get no satisfaction because I've only heard it 100 million times. It's not even about that anymore. It's about the people on the stage. It's about their charisma. It's about the pomp and circumstance. It's about the event because they have become larger than life. The Stones are now larger than life. It doesn't matter that the songs are 100 years old and you've heard them forever. Well, that's the same way with wrestling. It doesn't matter that it's the same moves over and over again. The Undertaker does the same moves over and over again, but everybody comes to see him because he broke through that wall of, I don't have to be a five-star athlete to connect with these fans. And he connected with them in a real way that fans care. Ricochet didn't do it. Maybe he wasn't given the opportunity. I don't know. Cedric Alexander didn't do it. Maybe he wasn't given the opportunity. I don't know. But I do know it's not enough to just be a great athlete. Cedric Alexander and Ricochet, you're looking at two of the very, very top athletes in the entire WWE. And I'm not kidding. I know that, you know, they're not very big, but pound for pound, those are two of the top five, probably, athletes in the entire WWE, in both Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. And they can't get nothing going because they're not connecting with that crowd. Their gimmick is, I'm a good athlete. Well, a lot of people are a good athlete. That's not a good enough gimmick. You got to sell yourself. Now, we'll see what they do with Aleister Black, because I think they have the potential to do something with him, but they also have the potential to destroy him. He's very iffy, and I'll tell you why he's iffy, because his gimmick probably belongs to a bigger guy. You know, it's very, very tough for me as a fan to say, Bobby Lashley, 6'1", 270 pounds of solid muscle and a legitimate MMA fighter, supposed to be afraid of a man like Aleister Black. I don't buy it. Now, if you said The Undertaker, you buy it. The Undertaker's a big, huge guy, too. Scary-looking guy. He's went through this whole impervious to pain, gets up from everything type stuff. Aleister Black is a slightly undersized guy who's a legitimate kickboxer. I get it, but he's still kickboxing has a weight division. And for him to be, I'm this fierce, dark, occultish person everybody should fear, but I'm 5'8", 170. I don't fly when you're fighting Bobby Lashley. That might be okay if you're fighting, Ricochet or somebody like that. It's not okay if you're fighting Bobby Lashley. You saw what happened when Ricochet fought Brock Lesnar. You think that outcome would be any different if Aleister Black fights Brock Lesnar? No. No. So they got to be careful of that. So Ricochet and Cedric Alexander, I don't know if this is a one-shot, Todd, or they're going to be a tag team. At the very least, if they're not going to use them for anything else, Raw could certainly use a good tag team, but they didn't start off very well, did they?
Absolutely not. They didn't start off well at all. Well, like you said, if it's like a one-time deal, a one-night only, that's it. If it's going to be a new tag team, I'm all for it. But by the looks of it, I don't think it's going to be a permanent thing.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's probably a one-shot deal. But maybe not. I mean, look, they got to do something with them. It's kind of curious because after Raw was over, I don't play the 2020 2K 20 because, you know, it's just awful. But I had 2K19 on, and I'm going through the roster. And I'm saying to myself, geez, you know, look at these matches you could have. I had Curt Hawkins against Bo Dallas. I had Tozawa against Apollo Crews. And I'm saying these are good matches. How come the WWE don't use their undercard at all? Not at all. And the answer is they're just too filled. They're just too filled. It's just too easy to get lost in the shuffle. And that's why you have to stand out like nobody's business. And it's got to be more than what you do in the ring, because what you do in the ring is limited to an extent. And by that, I mean, you have no control. If Ricochet gets to the arena and they say, listen, you're fighting so-and-so and you're going over, but you got 5 minutes. Well, then you got 5 minutes. And that's not six. That's five. So what are you going to do in 5 minutes? Hit your basic moves, the things we want you to do, your finisher, you're done. Okay. Well, you do that for week after week after week. And pretty soon the fans are like, I've seen this already. I've seen this 20 times. That's why I always said Cesaro was a cut above a lot of people. Because Cesaro would say, all right, I only got 5 minutes. And I got to do my finisher or whatever. But that don't mean I have to do everything else the same. And he would mix a lot of different moves in. I've not seen him do that before. Or, oh, here's something new. Or, oh, he did these in a different way. You know, first he'd do the uppercut from, like, springboard off the rope. Then he'd do the running uppercut from the left and the right of the corner posts and things. He found different ways to do things to try to keep his matches fresh so you didn't say, oh, I've seen all this already. A lot of wrestlers fall into that rut of, I'm going to do the same moves in the same order, in the same way, every time I go out there. And pretty soon, you're just on remote control. And the fans already know how the match is going to go, right down to the move for move, practically. And I think Cedric Alexander fell into that trap, and I think to some extent, Ricochet fell into that trap. And maybe it's just due to their lack of being pushed, they just give up, and they say, oh, I just, you know, they've beaten me down. I just can't, I'm not into this anymore. It's very possible. Now, Ricochet did the right thing and tweeted, you know, for the people who are saying I got buried or whatever, look, I'm on television most every week. I'm trying to entertain you as best as I can. Most people don't get a chance to be on television every week and entertain you, so let's take it for what it is. I mean, that's the politically correct thing to say. But I'm sure if you're backstage with Ricochet and you're off the record, he's going to say, I feel totally wasted. I feel totally misused. I know Cedric Alexander does. Cedric Alexander stated it many a time. So I don't know where this is going with the WWE and their overstocked rosters. But I do know that it's going to lead to a lot of people being underutilized. And guys like Ricochet, they're going to fall to the wayside. Anyway, past those two matches, of course, we got that sensational three-way match from WrestleMania. That was a classic match thrown in for good measure. We got Randy Orton's closing statements, which was very good. This Raw was not bad. It was entertaining. Considering, here's what you got to do. You got to rate it on a different level. If the world was perfect and everything was going on as scheduled and there were fans in that audience and this is the Raw you gave me, I'm going to be having a fit about it. But the world is not going on as normal. Nothing is going on as normal. And to give us even that is pretty damn good. The matches themselves were pretty fair. I thought Randy Orton cut an excellent promo. Paul Heyman did his usual decent job. And to be honest, I kind of enjoyed watching that match from WrestleMania. I didn't forget about the match, but I certainly forgot about a lot of it. And I forgot how good it was. But what it did do, Todd, is it reminded me how important the crowd is, because all of those close falls that were broken up by one or the other of the guys, Brock Lesnar's comeback after being put on the stretcher, the whole nine yards, it was so fueled by the crowd's response that I just sat there and said, man, if I pictured this without a crowd, this would just not be the same. And then that's what makes me worry about this year's WrestleMania.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, that one WrestleMania match, the Asuka and Charlotte Flair match, I didn't forget about the match either. I didn't forget the pay-per-view. It was a pretty good match right there. And
no, I'm talking about Cena and Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar that they showed. That's the one I'm talking about. That one's the one they showed last night, Todd.
Oh.
Yeah. So, bottom line is this. You're going to get WrestleMania, folks, and you're going to get what you get. And I guess there's a part of me that says I'm happy that we're getting something. It'll take our mind off things for a couple of nights, I guess. And I'm also a little bit interested in seeing how the WWE can creatively change WrestleMania to be cool or to make the matches different than they would have if there was an audience. I want to see if they'll take advantage of that, because there's always going to be an upside to a downside. And the upside is you have more room to explore now. You can do things you probably wouldn't have done. So let's see them utilize that. Let's see them take advantage of that. So I'm looking forward to that too. But regardless of what they do, I still say the Brock Lesnar and Drew McIntyre match is going to suffer, and it's going to suffer horribly. Still say Roman Reigns and Goldberg is going to suffer, and it's going to suffer horribly. And those matches are likely not to be good matches anyway. Brock Lesnar reminded us last night, when he really wants to put an effort into it, he can put on a pretty damn good match. That was a damn good three-way match. But with no fans, in an empty building, I don't see Brock Lesnar putting on anything special. I don't. And Bill Goldberg is not capable of doing it. Period. End of conversation. He'll be the first one to tell you. It's not like I'm downing the guy. Ask him. Somebody go ask Goldberg, hey, man, could you do 15 minutes and really just put on a solid 15-minute, you know, reasonably paced match? He's going to be like, of course I can't. Absolutely out of the question. So what's that going to be? So those two matches are kind of just, you know, I don't maintain a lot of hope for them, which means there's going to be a lot more emphasis placed on John Cena and Bray Wyatt. A lot more emphasis. And truthfully, probably a lot more emphasis on AJ Styles and The Undertaker. And while I still think The Undertaker, to an extent, can still perform, I don't know if he's got it in him to do a long, drawn-out match. That's why if they do some kind of a boneyard stipulation match that's more of a hardcore, outside-the-ring thing, it'll probably benefit The Undertaker. There'll be more time to walk around and just do things and not have that pace of the ring to deal with. So, I mean, maybe that'll help. But these other matches, they're going to suffer from this. They're absolutely going to suffer from it. Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins, it's probably going to suffer. Tag team championship matches are going to suffer. Women's match, that's going to suffer. And it's a shame. I mean, I think that maybe you could have done something along the lines of say, look, we're just going to put on a few matches for WrestleMania. We're going to put on the top two or three matches. And the rest of this is on hold, and there'll be other matches added to the new WrestleMania card sometime in June or July or whatever it is. But certain matches we're going to put on, certain matches we're just going to put on hold, or we're going to change, or whatever it happens to be. Then it might have been good to say we have a one-night Sunday 2.5 hour event. We're having John Cena versus The Fiend. We're having Goldberg versus Roman Reigns. And maybe that's it. And maybe one or two other matches that aren't really WrestleMania matches. And that's it. And then the rest of these are going to be held over for another time. I guess I would have been down with that, Todd, because I think maybe at the long run, we would have got a better product.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's going to be a long haul of this WrestleMania. It's going to be different.
Now, to their credit, the WWE has used this opportunity to market a T-shirt that says "I wasn't at WrestleMania," which a lot of people will probably buy. Because I got to tell you that this is going to be the once-in-a-lifetime thing. I don't see this ever happening again in our lifetimes. So to own that T-shirt is to own a piece of history where you say, this was the WrestleMania where there weren't any fans. This is equivalent to saying, we're going to hold the Super Bowl, but nobody can come in. Game 7 of the World Series, but nobody's going to be there. That's the equivalent. It's really weird. Really weird. Now, on to some news. I had told you that a fan had retweeted a CM Punk tweet that basically said, oh, WrestleMania with no audience will be great. Now they can't boo Roman Reigns and cheer for me. That CM Punk had tweeted, and a fan had written back and said, you know, why don't you stop begging for a WrestleMania match? To which CM Punk said, I'm not the one calling me begging for a WrestleMania match. Well, apparently what had happened is Seth Rollins had contacted CM Punk and talked to him about maybe we could get something going for WrestleMania, not with Vince's knowledge or anything else, just on his own saying, are you interested? And maybe I could put in a word or whatever happened. Apparently, when Vince McMahon saw this tweet, Vince McMahon exploded. And Vince McMahon has basically said, from what I hear from my sources, that CM Punk will never wrestle in a WWE ring again as long as he is in charge. He called him a man with issues and someone who's not trustworthy to be allowed back. He doesn't trust what CM Punk would say on the mic, would do in the ring, none of it. So that's it for the CM Punk fans. That if Vince McMahon has said that, he's not changing his mind. Because Vince McMahon, down through the years, say what you want about Vince McMahon, he was punched in the face by Bret Hart and let him back. He was basically blackmailed by Jeff Jarrett, and he let Jeff Jarrett back. He was absolutely held hostage by the Ultimate Warrior. And said that was the most satisfying firing he ever did, and yet he brought him back. And Vince McMahon has, on a regular basis, said, we live in a funny world in professional wrestling. And the key is, you never say never. Because you just never know what opportunity is going to come up. So for Vince McMahon himself to say, never. As long as I am in charge of WWE, we'll see CM Punk wrestle in this federation. I believe him. I absolutely believe him. Now, whether you say it's Vince McMahon's fault or it's CM Punk's fault, that's up to you. People have done some equally weird things. Certainly firing him on his wedding day or serving him with papers, whichever they did on his wedding day, was not a nice thing to do. But when CM Punk's best friend forever, Colt Cabana, says, I'm done with him because he stiffed me, that's not a good thing. That's not a good optic either. So I don't know who's right and who's wrong. I think it's just a battle of two wills that are both too pigheaded to really think things through. So CM Punk probably shot himself in the foot, and he doesn't have a lot of options. AEW's already said they're not really interested. Because they got really, really upset. You know AEW's upset when they comment on something negative and they try to put a positive spin on it. Vince McMahon will just come out and say, CM Punk is never wrestling for me again, period. Cody Rhodes and company say, well, we've come to the conclusion that we probably have just, it's not in our best interest at this time to deal with the matter of CM Punk. That's basically them saying, look, Punk screwed us over, lied about it, blamed us when we were trying to get him to come, tried to hold us up for I don't know how much money, and we're just done with him. So he's not going there either. He certainly ain't going to Impact. So where does that leave him? Not a lot of options. So, I mean, he could do some indies if he felt like, you know, scratching the wrestling itch. I suppose he could do whatever he wants to do and write, you know, his own ticket on the indies. But I don't see the two top or three top federations having any interest in CM Punk. And that's got to be a little bit alarming to him. You know, you put your foot in your mouth one too many times. For everything that Bret Hart did, and some of it was absolutely dumb, including not losing to whoever Vince McMahon said he was going to lose to. What the hell difference is it? You're leaving. What the hell do you care? If he asked you to lose to the popcorn vendor or the Spanish ring announcer, you should have said, that's fine, whatever. Won't be here, don't care. So that was dumb. To the Warrior saying, I want more money and I want the match cut from 5 minutes to 1 minute and a half. Or to Jeff Jarrett saying, I'm not under contract, so I want, you know, $100,000, I'm not even doing the match. All of that's dumb decisions, but they're not decisions that you can't mend fences with. CM Punk now has gotten to the point where you can't mend these fences. You can't walk into a dressing room where you told a guy to go suck a blood-covered Saudi Arabian dick and expect you're going to be welcome back. You can't go into a company where you say, my WrestleMania match was going to be with Triple H, and that's simply not a big enough match for me when Triple H was the, you know, top guy in the company, really, and expect Triple H going to treat you like gold. You can't come back on your terms and say, I'll come back if you give me the federation and everything in it, and I write my own scripts, and I decide who I want to fight, how long I want to be in the ring, how I want to finish them off, what I want to say and what I want to do, when I want to travel, when I don't want to travel. You're not going to get that. You're just not going to get it. Not with that attitude, you're not going to get it. That's for damn sure. The only bargaining chip he did have was AJ Lee, who everyone said would be welcome back. And they threw that away, probably. She threw that away. So that's the news on CM Punk, is that if you're one of these people who are saying, is CM Punk maybe going to show up at WrestleMania, or are there negotiations? There's no negotiations. And think about this. The WWE's programming, which I know backstage is not their program, but it's a program about them, and they plug it all the time. Watch, you know, backstage, WWE backstage, they never once mention CM Punk. They never once say, oh, tonight's episode, CM Punk's going to be on there. They never do it. So if they won't even mention his name, they're sure as hell not putting him in a ring. Sure as hell not doing it. And at a time when everybody is going through this crisis, for CM Punk to make a joke and say, oh, at least they're not going to boo Roman Reigns, is really classless. Pretty classless. So what do I give Raw? Well, once again, these shows are very tough to rate because you've got to take into consideration the problems and the logistics. It's not going to be a normal show. If it was a normal Monday Night Raw, this would probably have gotten a D. It would have been saved by Randy Orton and a really good promo. And that's about it. But it's not a normal time. And for the horrible logistics that the WWE had to go through to get anything on the air, I'm going to give this a B-. I think that they did an okay job at setting up some stuff for WrestleMania. I think they're trying really hard to psych people up for WrestleMania. I think they're really pushing it as best as they can. They've added some new matches, even if it may not be matches that we think are very good. They're trying to do something. So with just the effort alone, I'll give it the B minus, Todd. What about you?
I got to go with you, a B minus too. Like you said, it was not a bad show, and they're trying their best to get the hype up for WrestleMania.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do in these unusual times. Only so much you can do. Hopefully things change soon. And at least some parts of the country. See, this is the thing. The whole country's going through this. If you could say, well, you know, out in Oklahoma, there's none of this, then they'd probably just go to Oklahoma and have their shows. You know what I mean? And say, we're going to stay here until whatever. But every state's having this problem now. So there's no place to go. There's no place to hide from this. So you're just going to have to do the best you can. And this is really not the time to pick on every little thing the WWE does. If there was one takeaway last night that I do think is negative, it would be for Ricochet. Because when you're put in a tag team with Cedric Alexander and you still can't win, I think the writing is on the wall that they have nothing for you. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening. We will be back here on Friday with the AEW and NXT report. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.